Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. And today we're going to mine some of these social media groups and just get some content and talk about the things that you guys are talking about, things that are interesting to you or things that are kind of going on in the news right now.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we're going to start with our condolences for Mitchell Huggins, a fast pitch softball umpire that actually passed away from heat stroke or heat exhaustion or I think heat stroke.
Died of heat stroke is the reason given in this news story here.
And so, you know, thoughts and prayers out to his family and friends. And let's use it as a warning to yourselves to prepare. No, absolutely no fault of Mr. Huggins, right? But just it's hot out there. And if you are, if you get too hot, get out of there, right? We have some of our own for, you know, to protect the innocent here. I won't say any names, but some of our own umpires right here in Central Ohio have actually gone to the hospital for this. Yep. Thank God they didn't pass.
Yeah, it happened in a game we were coaching and we lost our umpire.
Oh yeah, we did. That's right. I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. Yep. Down at Berliner. Especially, you know, a lot of these fields are going to turf.
Yeah, and that was the case in Mr. Huggins' situation.
And man, I'll tell you, in the summertime, those suckers can get hot.
I was seeing reports that the field that day, they were like 180 degrees on the turf. And stuff like that. So it's like, it's not just that it's 90 or you could have prepared a little better. And it's like, well, how do you prepare for that?
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, again, no fault to him. But what do we do from that? You know, I remember talking about with Frosty that I was going to be going out to Oklahoma City, right, for the Alliance Fast Pitch Championships at the end of the year. And Frosty was like, dude, that's a hot like you've never felt. And so you really need to prepare. So what did I do? You know, I quit drinking adult Frosty beverages 6 weeks before I went. I started drinking my body weight in water for 2 weeks before I went. You know, so I was uber hydrated. And I'll tell you, I almost pulled myself out of a game because it was just that hot. So just be really cognizant of it.
And you guys weren't even working. You weren't working back-to-back-to-back-to-back games, right?
No, not at all.
Uh-uh. Yeah.
Nope, not at all. So that was just one game. You know, just walked out and did. And it was a morning game. It was like 11 o'clock in the morning, maybe even a 10 o'clock game. But it was I mean, they made us take our phones out to the plate meeting to get the actual temperature with heat index at the time, and then they put time restrictions on the game for the girls depending on what the temperature was.
Yeah,
I chuckled at the time restrictions because if it was that hot here, we just wouldn't play
right
at all. And they're saying, yeah, we're gonna limit this to 90 minutes, you know, finish the inning. I'm like, what? We wouldn't play. But anyway, so hey, be really careful out there. Be really, really careful out there. Okay, so Pete, do we have one lined up?
Yeah, so I mean, just even staying on the story a little bit longer, one of the things that has been a problem here, and I'm sure a problem elsewhere, so there's a lot of shortages of umpires, especially for summer tournaments. You have people that, we only have so many umpires in a given area. You have, in our place, and in Central Ohio, we're lucky to have, I think, the largest outdoor complex. I think Berliner is the largest in the United States. It's got 30 turf fields. Is that 30, 31?
Yeah, I think it's
32.
I think it's 31. Because there is a field number 32, but there isn't a field number something, like 3 or 5.
So we got a lot, dozens and dozens of fields that are all there. And then you get there are a couple of tournaments especially that are pretty big draws that teams come from out of state and everything. We have Arizona, like people come to these tournaments. So you have a lot coming on. Unfortunately, we also don't seem to draw all the umpires from Arizona to come help us and everything else. And so you have people working long games on these turf fields. It's very hot. May or may not be Oklahoma City hot, or you know, in Mr. Huggins' case, it was South Carolina hot. But we're talking about a lot of heat, and so it's like, what's the fix of this? Ideally, the way they try to schedule these is a three umpire crew. You have you work two on, one off consistently, and ideally, you would like a little bit of time between games where you can stop, rehydrate a little, use the restroom if you need to, cool down, sit in the shade, get a cold towel, whatever it is. But I can tell you in working these, that's not the way that it goes. The way that it goes a lot of times is you finish a game, you may or may not have time to go to the restroom or to do anything else before the next teams are getting on the field and you have stuff to do. And there are umpires who will force that timing, you know, to say, no, it'll be 15. You guys are here. And, you know, because coaches will show up and coaches want to play the games and the coaches have other games and they don't want to get behind and they want to go.
Yeah, the tournament director wants you on time.
Yeah, and the tournament director certainly wants you on time. And there is a fair amount of pressure to keep games on schedule. But, I mean, if you need the time, I mean, I've had umpires just say, listen, I don't care that you showed up and you just said, I'm ready to go. We don't need warm-ups. We're ready to go. Too bad. 15 minutes is good. How long it's going to be until the next game.
Yeah,
good.
I'll be back in 15. Yeah. We'll get started.
And that should happen. And it's like, ideally, what should happen is if you regularly have problems where you've got umpires needing to Superman to fill these things and you can't run two-on-one off crews and everything else, then if you want to run all the fields, you need to have less teams. You need to add gaps. Maybe the thing is we can only run it if we can staff it this way. And unfortunately, that means some of these tournament directors are going to take less money. And I don't know how the economics of it, if that means that they can't afford to rent out Berliner anymore, but you don't have to rent every field, you know? So it's like one of those things where to rent Berliner does not require you to rent all 31 fields to do it. You know, I know plenty of rec leagues that rent two fields. So there are things you can do about this to change the economics of it. And it's you may raise less money for your yearly fundraiser that's this gigantic tournament. But at the same time, whose lives are we putting at risk on some of this? And it's just like, it's we tax the umpires for it. You're not paid a ton of money to do the work. It's just like, it sounds like a complaining or anything else, or it's just like, oh, toughen up, or just you do this. But it's like the average age of these, there aren't a ton of young umpires coming in, at least not in our area. A lot of the guys working these tournaments are older. I'm 40. I'll be 48 here very soon.
I'm mid-50s.
And most people are older than me that are umpiring these. Yep. And so it's just like you've got older people out here running around, wearing all the umpire gear on the turf, 100-plus degrees, you know, maybe humid, no shade. Like Berlin, because it's such a big area, there's almost no shade anywhere near these, especially when the sun gets to a certain position. There's nowhere to hide. You can kind of go in the dugout between innings or something. But even then, thank goodness, there are a lot of teams that are kind of sympathetic to this. So we used to do this as much as we could when we were coaching those, is we would constantly check on the umpire. You need water. You know, sir, I know when you've done UIC stuff, you've gone by and you check on the umpires. You make sure that they need water. You basically run gopher for them on that kind of stuff. But it's like, even as fans, I've had fans sit there and be like, hey, you need water. You just ask, or if I have my water bottle, I have something there. If I have like two with me, they'll be like, we'll keep one in our cooler for you if you want. So that way I can stay cold. So when I'm ready and I need it, any of those things, and those are certainly appreciated. But it's like, why does it have to come to that to cover this? And it's almost always, like a lot of things, it comes down to, I don't know, greed and the almighty dollar in that case of like, that's literally the only excuse. And it's like, you want to say, we want to let girls play softball, which we do, but I feel like just there's something could be done. And maybe not. Maybe I'm just naive and maybe stupid. Maybe I have no idea.
I couldn't agree more, Pete. It's a lot of times you get to these tournaments and some of the umpires will, but I'm sure that you know, the assigners get these types of comments from umpires all the time. It's like, and because certainly I know that I've told Mike this. I'm not your all day nine game a weekend kind of umpire. That's not how I go, for a couple of reasons. One, you know, physically, age is certainly one thing. Weight is a little bit of a issue as well. Although I was told recently that I move pretty good for a big guy, which I think they meant fat guy, but they said big guy, so that was nicer. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
but. So I'm just not that person. And I know that a lot of the umpires that I run in that circle with as well, they're similar. They're like, can't do it. Right. That's not my thing. There are umpires out there that want every game they can get and more power to them. But anyway, that was one of the reasons is, you know, just physically, it's just not what I want to do. And then second, I've recognized that mentally, I can't be in that many games while I'm hot, tired, upset, that kind of thing. I can't keep my brain working. There's not enough neurogum on the planet to keep my brain working to be able to do the job that I think the game and the girls deserve. And so I just can't do that many games. Now, some of the assigners pull some really great umpires from all around. So there's a group that comes up from West Virginia. Love those guys. They're all NCAA umpires and they come to help out, you know, on some of these big tournaments and things. But there's a tournament two weekends. And if I'm not mistaken, the assigner is still 18 umpires short. 18. And I'm sure that there are a bunch of umpires already signed up for that, right? But they're 18 umpires short. So to your point, Pete, we got to do something to either increase umpires or reduce games.
Right.
And so the increase umpires thing is not I can't do that tomorrow, but you can certainly reduce games tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You know, you can certainly say, hey, you know, it's not a four pool play games in a bracket. It's only three. Do something. So is that going to have a fiscal impact on the tournament? Sure. But to your point, we're talking about being able to actually handle the games and do it safely. And so I think that's really important. So, okay. Dead horse.
Yeah. And you know, it's okay. Lighter, a little lighter fare. Let's get into a situation that we found This is a person who is asking, what would they do? What would you do in this case where they were in the sea? And do you have that? Do you have that post up?
Was that from NFHS or USA? I didn't see it again.
Okay, so this is from the Ask the Softball Umpires group. It's a person. His name's Isaac, and he asked a question. He said, question, I was in the C slot, batted ball to second base. As I'm coming across, the pitcher gets in my way, so I couldn't see the ball get to first base or see if the runner got to the bag. So I immediately go to the plate umpire, and he calls her out. Did I do the right thing? And so comments in here are pretty varied. A lot of people saying, make a call based on what you did see. This is pretty much, there's a lot of consensus here. It seemed to be a lot of people saying, always make the call, then ask for help. So in this case, because they didn't see an out, they're saying call safe. I don't know. I don't know what to do here on that one, because that's, I don't know how I feel about that particular thing. Because if the runner's out by 542 steps and you called safe because you couldn't see anything, and then you, and right. then you go get help, and it's just like, bro, what?
So I'm chuckling a little bit. Well, I'm watching my sister's dog, and he has decided to just take a drink there beside Pete. So you're going to hear that, listeners. A beautiful golden retriever, and if she doesn't come get him, he's for sale starting on Tuesday. No, he's good. He's a good boy. Yeah, so how do I feel about that? So how I feel about that is a couple of things. One, sorry, bud, you asked the question, did I do the right thing? The first answer to that is not in my opinion based on what you said.
Yeah, I don't know how you'd let the pitcher get in the way.
Yeah, so use your peripheral vision.
Get out of that way immediately. Right. What are you doing?
Yeah, you got to make sure that you have a view. I suppose at the very last minute, you know, it could have, like, right when it happened, and you got a bang bang play, and you didn't see her in your periphery, and man, she came right in and blocked you, and you're like, oh, I couldn't see it. So if you couldn't see an out, right, and it was that what I just described, right? It's bang bang play, and I could not see an out. You go with safe. And as soon as the play stops, you call dead ball, and then you go to your partner and you say, partner, I was blocked. I could not see an out. Do you have any information to help me to make certain that I got the call right? And the plate umpire might say, dude, she was out by half a step. And you turn around and you say, out. And then, you know, you're going to have a problem. The offensive coach is going to want to talk to you about that. And you just describe exactly what I said. You just say, coach, I got at the worst possible time, the perfect storm happened and the pitcher blocked my view of the play. And so I did not see your runner get out. So I could not call her out. I went to my partner. My partner had more information. We determined that the correct call was out. And that is the call that we have applied. And be done with it. Does it stink? Yeah, it stinks. But that shows that you care about getting the call correct.
Yeah.
That coach isn't going to like it. Half the people out there don't like the outcome of a close call. Every time there's a close call, half the people hate it. So getting the call right is the most important thing, in my opinion.
Yep. So. And so what should you do in this case? So you're sitting here, you're in the C, as I mentioned, and you've got that call at first base, which if you're working two umpires, we've talked before that that's one of the toughest positions to have to be in. But what you need to do is you need to get close. Usually the way that I've gotten blocked out and made the call more difficult is usually the runner coming second to third and you can't run in front of them. Sometimes you may have to wait for them to pass or take a weird angle and run around. So you've got to run way further than you should have needed to get somewhere to move, that kind of thing. But if the pitcher's there, you kind of know, I mean, the pitcher starts in the same place every single time. And so you're coming through. And so as the ball's hit, you should be sprinting towards first, assuming you have no other responsibilities. You see the plays going over there. And you should be sprinting at an angle that would get you like that straight view, you know, kind of tunnel through all the players. There's a lot of players on the field. You know, there's the shortstop could be in your way, pitcher could be in your way, the second base person could be in your way, depending what kind of ball it is. They're charging in, doing whatever, they could be in your way.
Right.
You've got to just kind of find that zone and be able to see it. So it's just, it's tough. And, you know, assuming you did all those things and you tried as hard as you could and you still didn't see it, you got to go kind of with what David said there.
Yeah.
I mean, you can make an idea if you're sitting there going, depending where you're at, the runner, it should have been a close play anyway, you know, because if the runner was far away, you should see them. Like, they're so far from the bag. You can see where they're at. You watch, you're seeing them the whole time, and you know that they're only halfway up the line when the throw goes over there.
Yep.
You should call that out.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I saw the ball get there. I saw the person not there. And then if someone wants to appeal, then, oh, pull foot. She wasn't on the bag. At your home plate's got that. And that's appeal, like kind of normal mechanic world.
Yeah.
You know, but then if it's really, really close, then you couldn't see it and you call it and then get help.
Yep. You got to go with safe. If you don't see an out,
yep,
you got to go with safe. Now, there's some umpires, even some in my circle, will possibly come at me on that one, where it's like, oh, dude, clearly out, like Pete said, right? So clearly out's different, and we're not talking about obstruction. We're not getting on that soapbox right now. So here's another good one. I love this, and I have a little bit with this. So Eric Ryder also posts in Ask the Softball Umpire Facebook group, says, a handful of times this season, I've had the catcher set up way outside, lots of A's and lots of Y's, way outside, still legal, but no longer in front of me. Should I adjust accordingly? Example, on a right-handed batter, the catcher was almost totally behind the lefty's batter's box. Should I set up opposite? It's a little unnerving having nothing in front of you. So
yeah. So my first thought is no. You stay where you're supposed to stay, but here's why. I mean, there's a lot of things that can happen, but in theory, what is intending to happen right now is the pitcher is going to throw the ball outside, right? And so when someone fouls the ball straight back, they foul it straight back. It does not usually get fouled back at some kind of weird, like 45 degree angle, you know, against back to the pitcher's hand if they're right-handed, you know, so it doesn't foul that way. And if it does, you're still probably safe from that. It's very hard for you to get hit. So what would have to happen is catcher sets up outside, pitcher misses her spot by 17 inches, comes inside, and then you get fouled at.
Yeah,
that'd be tough, I guess.
And but it sucks.
You're already in trouble because the catcher's not going to catch the ball. Right. It's way too far away.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, my two cents on this is parallels what Pete has to say. I'll add something though. No, you just got to sit there, and then what you have to tell yourself: as soon as she moves out, you're going to be like, "Darn it, you set me up here, catch." So then, what you tell yourself is, "Don't flinch, don't flinch." So you've already just make yourself ready to catch a pitch. You're getting hit. Just do that in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking a pitch.
And so what does that look like? Well, what that might look like is your hands are tucked a little more behind some pads or some, you know, behind your leg than it might be normally. That means that make sure you are not turtled up, but whatever the opposite of that would be for the front. You're like armored up. So like make sure my chest is square to that. I am the chest pad is definitely facing. The mask is definitely facing. Yep. The shin guards are facing.
Yep.
You know, I'm ready for this. A hockey goalie, I am ready to get hit with a slap shot.
I am getting ready to get hit. The one thing that I do, other than I do not tuck my hand, actually what I will do is, so right now in my standard setup, my hands are on my knees, fingers spread. And that's my standard setup. If the catcher exposes me like that, I will move one hand in front of my cup.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'll put one hand in front of my cup so that I get hit in the hand and not the cup. But other than that, you just hunker down, baby, and take it, because you're getting ready to get hit. So you just have to own those. And hopefully, you know, the pitcher does her job and throws the ball outside, and you don't actually take it.
Yeah, you might even have a feel for that. If the pitcher's been hitting spots kind of all day, but if she's super wild, maybe you're a little more scared. But, you know, you work some of these higher level games, they set up out there. That's where the ball's going, more or less. She's right. Going to miss by 2 inches, not 10.
Yep.
So here's one that's interesting. Interesting also because it was commented on by one David Trout on the past. So,
oh, no.
So we had a person come into that group. This is the USA Softball Umpires group. And he said, if a coach cusses at his players for doing bad, how do you handle it? And this commenter, one D. Trout, says, what does the rule book say about profanity? So that's David, what do you think about that and the comment by that guy?
So the reason that, I forgot I had said that. The reason for my comment, it was early, right after the poster posted it. Often people will come to these Facebook groups and they will ask questions that are easily answered in the rule book.
Mm-hmm.
And so my question was a little snarky, if you will, that says, well, what's the rule book say about profanity? If you search the rule book, this isn't in the book, this is in David's head.
Mm-hmm.
If you search the USA rule book for the word profanity, you won't find it. If you search for the word cursing, you won't find it. So the only thing, and I think this is in the post, there's some safe sport stuff about bullying and demeaning and, you know, things like that. So by rule, you know, what do? Come on, man, you have to catch the bleepity ball.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, whatever. Bleepity, if it's effing, coach is going to get a warning from David. Now, that warning is going to come from David Trout, the U.S. citizen, father of a daughter, and general protector of young ladies, because, you know, I think that, you know, I'm a girl dad at heart, and we're not dropping F-bombs out here around these kids. It's not happening. And so I'm going to tell the coach, hey, no F-bombs. Now, I got support from my UIC, even though there's nothing in the rule book, right? I was at a nationals event over in, I think, Virginia or Maryland, one of those two. And two teams were going at it against each other. Apparently they hated each other. The parents got in a fight during the pool play, you know, days before. I did not know this. I'm the plate umpire, three umpire situation. I'm the plate. First two batters get hit, and the offensive team accused the defensive team of doing it on purpose, and the coach screamed, "No, I effing did not," or "No, we effing did not," and I immediately pitched them.
So yeah.
No warning, no nothing. You know, we're screaming the F word in 14U youth softball. You're not on my field. You're not doing it. Nobody told me I did it wrong, but I will tell you there's nothing in the rule book that says I did it right.
Yeah.
You know, so for David Trout, you know, youth softball, cursing at the kids, you know, being a, I can tell you it got different. My language got different when our girls were 16 and 18 years old. Mm-hmm. When they started dropping F-bombs when they were mad, they would catch it from me for doing that. And I never dropped F-bombs, but catch the DA double toothpicks, hockey stick, you know, you know, ball type thing, you know, that yeah. kind of stuff would be there. Frustration would come out. But so I would say if he's adding someone, demeaning them, you are a custody, you know, yeah. that kind of thing. Oh, now we're in a safe sport type of situation. Well, yeah,
and so the message here that someone put, that David references, so the president's message is, USA Softball is committed to providing a safe environment for our members and participants by deterring and proactively addressing abusive conduct. And so every member of this organization is responsible for protecting our participants and ensuring their safety and well-being on and off the playing field. It talks about zero tolerance. It talks about emotional abuse and verbal abuse prohibited, include but are not limited to yelling, insulting, threatening, mocking, demeaning, making abusive statements about their gender, ethnicity, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, you have backup here from, depending on the sanction you're working, certainly if you're working a USA softball situation, Safe Sport, you know, does cover this kind of thing. And I know Safe Sport covers USA stuff. Safe Sport is involved in NC2A stuff. So, I mean, you've got that kind of backup where it's like, yeah, the rule book, maybe you can't find the word profanity. However, the general conduct, there is a conduct that is agreed to that you are required to keep. And it's like, yeah, we're not going to police every time someone says this word or that word necessarily, but it's like, what are they doing with that word?
Yeah.
Like you said, is it directed towards a player? It's like, you effing blah, blah, blah. Well, slow
yeah.
that down.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll stop that immediately. Right. Yeah.
So
I'll stop that immediately. Yep. So yeah, it's so profanity itself. Shoot. You know, she got out at first base, you know, but it didn't say shoot. I said the other one. You know, that kind of stuff. There's nothing. Just don't worry about it, dude.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. But if somebody's yelling at their players and being abusive and using profanity, you're going to get them for being abusive. You're not going to get them for using profanity.
Right. You could do the same thing. You could be like, what are you, stupid? You right. stupid, idiotic little kid? Why right. are you so dumb? I mean, that's like, I didn't swear once, right? That's right. G-rated. That's on, you know, Bugs yep. Bunny said it. But like,
profanity it's still, wise,
you just, yeah. yeah, you just were abusive. And like, that's got to not happen.
Yep. Yep. We've seen this a lot. And sometimes, even, let's see, back when I was coaching, and there was a time while I was coaching that I actually smoked. And so that was sucky. You know, you don't smoke around the kids, you know, that kind of thing. And mm-hmm. thank God I've quit smoking now. But I think somebody, it was in one of the forums, so not a Facebook thing, but what's that one?
Like old school back in the day, like discussfastpitch.com.
Yeah,
or like
that's it. Yeah.
Softball Zone or something.
Yeah, one of those, right?
Uh-huh.
Where somebody came at a coach because, you know, in between games, the coach would leave and go behind a tree and smoke a cigarette. And they came at him, you know, about, you can't do that around kid. You can't, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, whoa, 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 dude. This is, first of all, it's America. And, you know, smoking is not illegal, you know, and as long as they walked away from the kids, you know, it's an okay thing to do, you know, that kind of stuff. How many people take their team to Buffalo Wings and Rings or Buffalo Wild Wings or, you know, we're not sponsored by them, by the way.
Although we can be.
We could be. Yes, I'm praying. UmpiringFastPitchSoftball.com. So anyway, how many go? And then the coaches will have an adult frosty beverage. It's like, you can't drink around those girls. Sure can. Their parents do. You know, it's like, this is not an illegal activity, buddy. This is
yeah.
this is all normal stuff. And profanity is not an illegal activity. Being abusive to players is. And so that's where I think you should concentrate your efforts.
Yep. All right. So there we go. Let's get a little bit of social media. And now we've got a little bit of a business for you guys. This will be the last episode of season 3. So this is the last one. We're here. This will get published near the end of July here. We're going to wrap it up for this season. We've been steadily. First year, we went a little deeper in the year, but we did way less episodes. We started way later. But the first year, we did about 20 episodes. Second year, 26, but that included just a conclusion plus a repeat. And this one, I think we're, would we say we're going to hit 27, 28 episodes?
Yeah, something like that. Yep.
So we've steadily been increasing the output, but we do have, you know, those sponsorships from the wing places aren't coming in. So we've got some job responsibilities. We've got some other responsibilities coming up that are always busy in the fall and that sort of thing as some of our businesses pick up and our lives pick up. So we'll kind of just be shutting this down here. We'll pick up again kind of in the new year as everyone's getting ready for the next season. And that's that. So David, what do you guys say?
Yeah, well, first I'll say, you know, thanks to all of our listeners. The loyalty is fantastic. The feedback we've been getting recently is great. The interaction with our listeners. I know I've got several of my NCAA umpires are listening. We've now broken into the coaches world, the parents world, right? So we've got listeners from all over the world, saying the world again. If I say the world four more times, we might get sponsored by the world. But so I'm just humbled that our reach has gotten as large as it is. And then I also want to just complete and total gratitude to Pete for all of the hard work that you do producing the show, editing the episodes. I know it is a ton of work. I just sit here with my face for radio and talk into this microphone. And then Pete makes us sound like we know what the heck we're talking about and we sound good and professional. So Pete, thank you very much for everything that you do.
Yep. Thank you.
Very, very much looking forward to next season.
Yep. Me as well. So that's it. Until then.
Thanks for listening, everybody.